Welcome to Randomania! It's a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match
at random,
and then we talk about it. And we post it on the internet, and you like it. You give it 5 stars on iTunes, by the way, if you want to do that. My name is Brad, something that I never say. And I am joined this week, as always, with my brother, Matt. How are you doing, Matt?
Hello, Bradley John. It's nice to see your face and hear your voice. We're on a roll here, bud. We got a match today that I'm not so certain anyone's going to want to listen about. But, you know, nonetheless, it's a WrestleMania match, so we got to do it.
What would we randomly select this time, Matt?
We got match number 329, which is from WrestleMania 34, April 8th, 2018, New Orleans Superdome. It's The Bar, who is Sheamus and Cesaro against Braun Strowman and a partner to be named at the show, who turned out to be a kid that we'll talk about in a second.
The thing, wrestling fans love a surprise, right? Everyone loves a surprise. When it was announced that there was going to be a mystery partner for Braun Strowman, of course, it gets wrestling fans love to imagine how many great things this could possibly be, and yeah, it just ended up being what it was instead. It's great.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, it's always going to be, is it going to be Sting? Is it going to be, you know, Shane McMahon? Is it going to be Goldberg? Is he going to do it by himself? Is it going to be, you know, Eric Rowan? It's just, you know, like, what, yep, nope, none of those. None of those exactly happened. And it was a kid.
It was a kid. Yeah, so anyway, and this match was great. So we have The Bar, right, involved in this match, which is fun because it's Cesaro and Sheamus, and I love both of these guys.
Both awesome. Yeah. Both awesome. Yeah, they're coming into this match having just won their fourth Raw Tag Team Championship. They had won it the Royal Rumble that year. They beat, of all teams, Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan for the Raw Tag Team Championship. If you remember, Jason Jordan was doing the Kurt Angle's son thing, and then he got a pretty bad neck injury that has pretty much forced him to retire to this point, and but it happened, like, right when him and Seth won the titles. So, essentially, they dropped the titles to The Bar at Royal Rumble to the only real, I don't know, long-standing tag team from Raw. So, there you go. Sheamus and Cesaro, who, like you said, just the best. I love them both, actually. They're both fantastic.
I've always been a fan of Sheamus. I've always thought, I like the fact that he has a lot of named moves. You know what I'm saying? He's got, like, the 10 beats of the Bowery or whatever, and he's got the White Noise, and he's got the Irish Curse Backbreaker. You know, he's got, like, all these high spots that he can put throughout all his matches. There are, like, no bad Sheamus matches. I've been entertained by almost all of them, except for the WrestleMania 29 or whatever it was. That one was, or 8, 28, which one, 29?
Yeah, but that's just, you know, a shock factor, which we've had on the show before, by the way.
That's just true. Talked about. Go watch, listen to that episode. I bet it was real good.
And Cesaro, I think we universally, Cesaro's just the best.
Yeah.
Just love the dude. Every match is awesome. He elevates everybody. I mean, even the match he had with John Cena on Raw a couple years before this even, just unbelievable. Elevates everybody. Like, one of the best in the world.
Cesaro could have a match with a broom, and it would be 5 stars. What's great about Cesaro is that he was put in several different tag teams, and there were, like, well, definitely two for sure I could think of that kind of seemed to be better. Like, he thrived in that scenario, but I almost feel like he thrived because he's going to make everything work.
Yeah, but he teamed with Tyson Kidd. You know, Tyson Kidd got hurt. But that team was great. They had a WrestleMania match on the, I think it might have been a pre-show match a couple years before this from, I think, 31. And they were really great together, too. It's too bad that Kid got hurt, because I think that they could have, like, probably stuck around for a while as a team. But even here with Sheamus, like, they play off each other so well. Like, the team came from, like, them having a best-of-seven series, and then they got thrown together as a team by Foley, and it just worked, man. It's, like, even still, like, until pretty recently, they were still a team.
Yeah, probably about a year ago, I think, maybe, when they put Cesaro with Sami Zayn and with
Nakamura.
They were doing all that. Like, he was the spokesman for the the voice of the voiceless or whatever, that whole thing. Yeah, so very recently, what's he doing now? I don't watch wrestling. I wonder.
What's Sheamus doing now?
No, Sheamus is in the mix with Drew McIntyre or something.
Correct, on Raw. So currently Cesaro on SmackDown is very, as of, well, today is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. So as of 2 days ago on Friday Night SmackDown, Cesaro started a little thing with the returning Seth Rollins.
Ooh, that's fine. I'll have to tune in.
Yeah, so it'd be nice if that could go out for a couple months and maybe we get a Rollins-Cesaro WrestleMania match, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think they know that. I think they're in the business of putting on the best show they can, and they know, like, as WrestleMania has become such a, you know, big thing for fans, they want to put the best guys they can against each other. So that's why, you know, I'm excited for that. The other side of this match, you get Braun Strowman, right? So Braun Strowman, what, he's still, I mean, 2018, so you got to figure he's probably already been around 5 years or something at this point, right? Strowman's probably been around longer than I realize.
You know, not as long as you might think. So 2018, I think he came up with like 2016-ish. He had his run with the Wyatt family, and this is right in the wheelhouse of Braun getting the major push. So he, the previous month at Elimination Chamber, was in the chamber match and eliminated every single person in the match. And then eventually got beat by Roman Reigns. And he had been feuding with Roman, you know, the I'm not finished with you stuff. And the ambulance match and all that stuff was pretty much that. So this is coming off a red hot Braun. Braun had been one of the survivors from the Survivor Series team the previous November. So this is coming off of Elimination Chamber where he kind of lost his momentum a bit. And now you don't really have anything for him at WrestleMania. And I think that's how he got thrown into this mix. What happened was the bar on Raw is telling everybody they've beaten everyone. And they kind of have. They beat the Revival on Raw. Cut a promo saying they've beaten everybody. There's no one else left to face. So Kurt Angle, the general manager of Raw, makes a tag team battle royal, and the winner of that tag team battle royal gets a match with the bar at WrestleMania. Braun puts himself in the battle royal without a partner and wins it.
Yeah, he says, like, I'll figure it out later. Right?
Yep, he's like, you'll keep your match. Exactly. Kurt Angle tells them later, I think the next week, you get to keep your match at WrestleMania as long as you find a partner. And Braun says, I don't need one, but I'll find one. And now we have this match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he looked real hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because, like, his whole deal was I can beat a tag team single-handedly because I'm unstoppable. And I'm an unstoppable giant, you know, which is nice. I think, you know, I love big guys that can move, and he's one of them, you know? And he's and he can talk. He's kind of got a, you know, character to him that people like, and people, he gets great reactions everywhere he goes. I always thought the sky was the limit for Braun Strowman. I still think it is. I think, I don't know where his career is going to end up, but I feel nothing short of one of the best ever is inside the realm of possibilities.
I agree. I mean, just the sheer size, like you said, and athletic ability of the guy, it's, Vince loves big dudes, right? That's why he just gets to be throwing dudes around and kind of dominating for so long. You know, we're going on 5 years of the guy being around, and he's still in the main events. Like, 2020, he wasn't the champion, you know? He was Universal Champion for a good portion of the year. Like, he's still around. He's still in the mix. He just came back again for the Rumble. Like, he's, I think he's going to be, as long as the dude stays healthy, I don't see any reason, like you said, why he can't have a couple title reigns and be around for a while. He might get thrown in a bit of a Big Show category. You know, he'll be the big guy that's always around and helps put over some of the new guys and young guys and turn heel and babyface 30 times in their career. Which
the proving ground type guy, yeah.
Yeah, but which sucks a bit, but I do, you know, those guys exist. They've been around in the WWF for a long time, WWE. You know, both. There's always the big guys to put over the champs and the other guys. Go back to the 80s. You got your King Kong Bundys, your Kamalas, your Big John Studs. Those are the guys that would put over the champ. And then moving into the 90s, you know, even Bundy again, Kama, you know, these, like, bigger dudes, Mabel, that are going to be around, Vader, put over the champ and make him look good. So we're doing the same thing. It's just Braun's going to probably be around for a while. I just wonder what he could do if he ever left that WWE bubble.
Yeah, you wonder. I feel as though he came into it as green to the business as I understand he was at the time. That, you know, not that I'm saying that he came here to prove himself from a previous career, because he didn't. He came in here, he started here, you know. I just think that, like, it depends on, he could fall into that pitfall of a big man who's a proving ground for the next guy coming, or, but I just think that if it's played right, he very easily could have be one of the bigger, you know, superstars ever, just because, I don't know, people like that. He's different strokes for everybody, right? For different folks, I think it even says.
I agree. Yeah, Braun, I think Braun had less than 10 matches when he got called up.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But yeah, you're right. The dude's going to be around a while. It'll be anxious to see, you know, maybe we'll get a couple more Braun Strowman WrestleMania matches in the next couple of years that we can talk about, and it'll be, you know, maybe for, I mean, he had a title match this past year. Maybe we end up getting that, and I'm hoping he gets a lot more. I think he'll be around for as long as he's healthy. That's honestly what I think.
Agreed. I think he'll always have a job. So we get to the actual match. We're at WrestleMania 34 or something like that.
Yep.
This is the second one out of... Well, this is the second time in this decade they were at the Superdome. 30 was there, and they came right back for 34. It's a great spot for them, they figured. So, this match is pretty deep in the card, right? If I had to skip a lot of stuff to get there.
It is the second to the last match, right before the true main event.
Yeah, so at this point, we're getting, our eyes are glazing over, but we're pretty excited to see who Braun Strowman's mystery partner is going to be, because they saved it for this long. It must be good.
Yeah, and we get the coach, Jonathan Coachman, Corey Graves, Michael Cole calling the match, and first coming out is the Bar, and they're on like a Mardi Gras float.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did not remember this.
Me either.
Thought maybe I stopped it at the wrong spot when I went to hit play, because I rewound a little. I was like, I don't know what this bullshit is, but I'm sure it's pretty close for the match. I was like, oh, it's the Bar. They got a special entrance. How fun.
Yeah, the people on the float wearing the big heads, and they got people dressed up like the jesters. You know, it's like a typical Mardi Gras thing. They're throwing beads out to people. I just thought it was weird, like it's the Bar. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But if you think about how they were always kind of doing, like, tandem moves and doing, like, their catchphrases at the same time. And kind of being, they're still super serious because they're so good, but they're also real jovial and kind of joking around as the heel jokesters, you know?
Yeah, I think Cesaro's been low-key hilarious for his entire career. I mean, not even low-key, like high-key. You know, he's always has these little things that he'll do or he can stick in somewhere that are just genius. And you can tell, like, you know, I always loved their entrance when they were back-to-back with the spotlight and the arms out and the screaming.
Yeah, even when they do it here, like, it's such a big stage and the lights are, like, so far away, it just lights them up, man. They are glowing. What I'm thinking when I was watching this is like, man, I hope they're closing their eyes right now, or they are going to be blind as fuck walking to the ring. Because it starts with Cesaro's music too, and his like James Bond style Tron video, and then it jumps into the Sheamus bro, you know, Mohawk Sheamus.
Yeah, which he had like white tips on this, and I thought that was nice.
Might have been a little special treat for Mania, huh?
Yeah, a little Mania special. So, yeah, they come out, and they're doing their thing, and they do the double overhead point thing, like NWO style. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yep. We're both doing it right now.
Always crack me up. And then, yeah, so they're great, and they're the best, and they come walking down arm in arm. It's great.
They're great. They're the best.
They're coming down, and so I'm just smiling because I'm like, these guys are the best. They're the best. They're great. We don't set the bar. We are the bar, isn't that it?
Yeah, we don't set the bar. We are the bar.
Yeah. So, Strowman comes out. It's great. There's a little comedy in the
there is. I just gotta say, I like Braun Strowman's music too quite a bit. It's heavy as shit. It sounds good when I play it in my car real loud. I mean, his scream in the beginning is a little over the top, but it's supposed to be. Like, he's the big scary dude. So, yeah, a little comedy. Because the float is still on stage.
Exactly. So, yeah, he comes out and chases all the big-headed, costumed participants of the Mardi Gras parade. They all go scattering when he comes around. When he comes out,
and they can't see for shit, so they're like trying to get led down the thing without falling and falling over, and yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
I had a good laugh watching it, genuine, and good job. And then so Strowman in a feat of strength, because he was still in the feats of strength portion of the career, he pushes the Mardi Gras float off the stage. Feels like a very WWE thing. They're fun.
It was in that moment I went, oh, that's why there's a float. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only reason. It's the only reason. Like, other than him picking it up and throwing it over the thing, like, yep, that's the only reason they're on a float. So yep. Braun can do something with it. Which makes sense. But man, took forever. Like, good lord, bro. Can you just... The entrance is longer than the match at this time. Let's just get a roll in here. Fucking A. Yeah. So Braun gets to the ring, and he grabs the microphone. And, by the way, JoJo's our ring announcer, looking as only JoJo can look. Bray Wyatt's a big fan, I've heard. Let's throw that out there.
Hey-oo.
Hey-oo. And he grabs the mic and says, everybody wants to know who my partner is. It's nobody in the back. It's one of you. For what it's worth, I think that's a really good Braun Strowman impression.
Well... I think it was, yeah, I thought he was here. I was like, how'd you get him on the show?
Paid him a lot of money. And now he starts pointing to the crowd. And as he starts looking around the crowd, we're trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. At least I was. Well, I remember watching it live going, this is the dumbest and greatest and mostly dumbest thing I've ever seen, but also kind of great, but more dumb than great.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? Is he going to go find some celebrity or something? Or what is?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And he had some people to choose from. Did you happen to notice in the crowd San Francisco 49ers tight end George Kittle?
I didn't see him, but I do remember him being there.
Totally there. Right shot, camera shot, right at him. So I just to double check, I Googled George Kittle WrestleMania, and there he is, a selfie wearing the Daniel Bryan blue shirt to prove and confirm that it was George Kittle. Also in the crowd, he walks right by his dad, Braun Strowman, walks by his dad, the big bearded guy in the corner. Right where the timekeeper's table is, there's a really? Older guy with a big white beard. That's Braun Strowman's old man, by the way.
Fun.
And then did you notice, as they're walking through the crowd, all the NXT wrestlers?
Yes. The only one I definitely saw was No Way Jose.
Well, he's pretty easy to pick out. Exactly. He's 6'8" with a giant afro. I noticed a few others. I saw Trent Seven there, the NXT UK guy. I also saw Cesar Bononi, who's a really tall Brazilian guy. He still works there, too. So there was a whole bunch, but those are the three that I really... I mean, as soon as I saw... No Way Jose. I was then actively looking for the rest. But you can see Trent Seven just cheesing like on the end, and you can see Cesar Bononi like trying to get out of the camera view. So yeah. I don't know if you saw anybody else.
I saw somebody who looked like they were trying to get out of camera view, but I didn't know who it was. So
yeah, it might have been him. Little kids following Braun through the crowd and getting tackled by security.
There's that one guy with a beard, he's like, come on man, why not?
Yeah, drunk Puerto Ricans, like, hanging out and holding their flag up, and then he just points to a random kid wearing a WrestleMania long-sleeve t-shirt, and then brings him to the ring, and that's Braun Strowman's tag team partner.
Yep, he gets the microphone, and he's, well, they go to get in the ring, and he holds the ring ropes open for him, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. So he opens up the top ropes, like, get in there. I laughed at that as well.
Yeah, because he's got the microphone in his hand when he's lifting it. So when he says, get in the ring, and the mic picks it up. So it goes off through the arena. Yeah, introduces his tag team partner, who is named Nicholas. So Braun Strowman and Nicholas are the opponents for the bar at WrestleMania 34.
Yeah. So he just says, stay on the apron, and I got the rest.
Sheamus' face, by the way, every camera shot they're showing of Sheamus, who's just like, what the fuck? The whole time, he's just like, what? Huh? Yeah, I'm going to have to see if I can find a picture of that and screenshot it and throw that up on the social media, because it's just pretty classic. But he's just like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever been involved in, ever.
Yeah.
And also maybe trying to not laugh. I don't know.
Well, he's... Yeah. Oh, he's surprised.
And then the match starts. And as far as the match goes, we don't have a whole lot to talk about here.
We really don't.
Braun destroys the bar for about 2 minutes. Then they turn the tables on Braun and get a big double suplex on Braun, which for a second I didn't think he was going over, and that took a minute. Big bump by Sheamus over the top where he kind of hit the ring apron and kind of caught his leg, and I was like, holy crap.
A little over the turnbuckle when he went, but it looked as though he was trying to do that, but it also is unusual to see the guy get dumped over in the turnbuckle.
Yeah, I almost felt like he didn't have enough momentum, so he was trying to, like, get himself over, and then he was, like, kind of screwed with his positioning. But, yeah, I wrote down Sheamus over the top, ouch. So it had to be something. And then that moment where Braun and Cesaro were in the ring, and it's hot tag time, baby. We got to get Nicholas in the ring.
Man.
And the fucking crowd
goes nuts.
Goes insane. Yep. I was like, well, they're awake. We brought them up, man. They're not tired after sitting there for 6 hours. Like, we got them back, baby.
Yeah, even my little, like, I was like, this is, you know, like, this is dumb. But, like, whoa, shit, that's fun, you know?
Yeah, it's in that moment, yeah, you kind of help but smiling a little bit, right? Like, even as we're both talking about it here, like, we're like, this is pretty fun moment. Because yeah. The crowd is waiting for this. This is what they wanted to see.
Yeah.
And... Well, now Cesaro's coming too, so Braun tags himself back in. But during this moment, one of the best lines of the whole thing was when Michael Cole says, "Even the ref is scared to death." Do you know why that line was made?
No.
Because Nicholas is referee John Cone's son.
Aww.
There's your little fact that I know for this one going in. Now, Nicholas, the referee for the match is John Cone, and this is his 10-year-old son, Nicholas, who's in the match. So Cole, at one point, when Nicholas tags in, Cole says, "Even the ref is scared to death," which is a little behind the scenes thing. So if you ever watch it again, or for those that watch this match after we talk about it, listen to that and take a look at John Cone's face, because he's really trying not to cheese, and he's really trying not to be like super, super duper happy. He's just trying to be in ref mode, but you can totally tell when you watch him that he's like, this is awesome.
Not even, this is the first time that one of these things is going to make me go back. I might go back and watch this again just so I can see that moment, because I didn't know what was going on. I missed it, and it's fun.
Yep, and I got two more things about that in a second. So Braun tags himself right back in. Braun power slam on Sheamus, and bell-to-bell, four-minute match, power slam, pin on Cesaro, not Sheamus. And we got new tag team champions. New Raw tag team champions are Braun Strowman and Nicholas in a four-minute match. Bell to bell, that took 15 minutes to watch on the network.
Right. It was a good, you know, break in the popcorn match of WrestleMania 34, but also was fun. You know, if it's right before the main event, it's not really a popcorn. I mean, that's the spot. Didn't fulfill that necessarily, because this was supposed to be entertaining.
As they're posing in the ring with the belts, again, this is the time to go look at the referee, because he's holding up Nicholas's arm and who's with Braun, and you can just see in John Cone's face how fucking happy and proud he is of this goddamn kid of his, because it's now that you know, you gotta check it out, because he is just smiling so big. So and then they leave the ring, and Nicholas is slapping hands with the fans.
That was my favorite part.
And just being a big, like, probably signing autographs on his way, and they're showing him on the ramp going up, and here's another thing where Michael Cole says, "I think he just earned his parents a big payday."
I heard that too and laughed pretty hard, since I knew you hinted last week that there was a story behind who Nicholas was, and so then I knew that that line was definitely definitely had a meaning.
Yep. And that pretty, so now that you know, it's one extra thing to go and watch, man. It's just pretty fun. It's John Cone's son, 10 years old at the time. And also the youngest champion of any kind in WWE history, and I'm not sure it'll ever get broken.
I don't think so.
Honest to goodness.
Pretty cool.
Lifelong memory for that kid. Yeah.
Lifelong memory for everybody. So then afterwards, obviously, Nicholas, he's got homework. He can't be defending the tag team championships, right? Isn't that what Corey Graves said, something like that?
Pretty much. So in the next night on Raw, there's a backstage with Kurt Angle where Braun and Nicholas are both there, and they relinquish the tag team titles because Nicholas can't get enough time off from the fourth grade to compete. So they relinquish the tag titles. He's got the belt for one. They get the belt for one day. And from there, the tag belts were vacant for, I think, 3 weeks. And Angle made a four-team tournament, which was won by Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, of all things.
That's
the Raw tag champs.
And they were champs for a while, and no one cared.
Yeah, no one cared. And they, I think they won them at the Greatest Royal Rumble event, perhaps. Or it was right around there. Because the Greatest Royal Rumble was, like, 3 weeks after this Mania. It was on, like, April, like, 25th or something. Braun Strowman then won that. Spoiler, Braun won that Battle Royal. Royal Rumble, eliminated 13 guys. And from there, he was pretty much in the main event picture until today. Like, that, he just was around. The Bar, after this WrestleMania, during the Superstar Shakeup, they got moved to SmackDown, where they tried to win the SmackDown tag titles for a few months and didn't win it. They did finally win their first SmackDown tag team titles in October. I don't know how long they held it, and I don't know how many times they won it, but then from there, they were on SmackDown for a bit until what we just talked about a year ago, where Sheamus got moved to Raw, and Cesaro stayed on SmackDown. So, and then Nicholas, they did say on the night after this WrestleMania that Nicholas was going to come back when he's done with school so he could get back in the ring with Braun. So wouldn't it be sweet in like 5 years, dude shows up?
He's like 17.
He's like, yeah, I mean, just show up and be like, all right, here I am.
Yeah, I haven't lost it.
I never lost the title. Never lost the title. I better have a match. So we'll see. We'll see.
It feels like one of those nice comedic things they'll mix in on like one of those funny shows that they do, you know? When they...
Yeah, just a random thing, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Do you want to rate this thing or what?
Yeah, let's rate it. Who went first last time?
I did.
So I have to rate it first this time?
Yeah.
Man, I'm super torn. Because, like, this is not a good wrestling match, but it's not designed to be a good wrestling match, right? It's not even, I would consider to be a super entertaining spot, but it is, right? Even when we got the match, when the number came up and we saw what it was, we said, oh no, because at least we remembered it.
True.
You know what I'm saying? And then as we watched it, both of us couldn't keep the smile off of our face when they hot tagged that kid in.
Correct.
And it was a moment. Now, all that does for me is bring it from a half of an HBK to one HBK, which is where I'm going to leave it as a one HBK, because at least there was some substantial thing. You know what? The reason I don't like this match is because think of the number of guys you could have had in that match that are on the roster. Throwing Apollo Crews in the damn goddamn match, you know what I mean? A Luke Harper, somebody like this who's working there and should get a WrestleMania payoff, and you're giving it to this kid. So I'm going to give it a one. It's probably really a half, but I'm doing one. What do you think?
Okay. So, like you said, it's conflicting, and even I'm like, yeah, one. But I'm like, yeah, it was. I mean, it was short enough that it didn't irritate me. It was entertaining enough that I wasn't sad that I watched it. My kids loved it because they're kids, you know, right? So this, right, this transporting themselves into Nicholas's shoes is pretty easy. Like, I mean, you see it as a kid, same age as my kids. They loved it. So my whole house was enjoying ourselves as we watched it. It's probably a 1.5 HBK just for the entertainment factor, even though, like, I like wrestling. Well, I also like WWE. I like the stuff they do. You know, I like when they're trying to be entertaining sometimes. When they do it right and when it works and it pays off, like this one. I'm on board with it, and I say that it was not a waste of time. But you're right. We were very disappointed to get this because we were like, oh my god, I can't, this is some recent bullshit. Well, actually, this was some entertaining bullshit, and it just happened to be recent. So, 1.5, because it's pretty meaningless in the history of WWE, but it was a fun moment.
I think our initial, like, oh man, it's because when you think of the matches we could get that we would genuinely be excited about, you know what I mean? And then you get this one, it's like, oh man, Uncle Elmer again. You know what I mean? From, you know, it's one of those, you're like, ugh. But I don't disagree, man. I don't disagree with your 1.5. I can't give it a 1.5. I gotta stick at a 1.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd watch this match. I saw it live when it aired. I thought I will never have to watch this match ever again. And then we got it. So now I've seen it twice, and I'm thinking that's as many times as I'll ever watch it. Anyway, There you go.
Let's pick another match.
So we have 358 matches in WrestleMania history. Reminder, this does not include pre-show matches. We always let zero be our minimum number, so if zero comes up, we can pick whatever the hell we want. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
43.
This is old. 43 is Ted DiBiase versus The Rock, Don Morocco, from WrestleMania 4.
So it's a tournament match.
It's a tournament match. It is like the semifinals. No, it's the quarterfinals.
Okay.
Because...
Okay.
Yeah, DiBiase gets... maybe the opening round. Nah, I don't know. No. Opening round, he beat Duggan. Anyway, yes. So it's his second round match in the tournament for the vacant WWF Championship, 1988, WrestleMania 4.
Trump Plaza.
Trump Plaza. WrestleMania 4, the WrestleMania I grew up as my favorite WrestleMania as a kid. I don't know if it holds up anymore because it's, you know, but it always holds a nice place in my heart, WrestleMania 4.
What a weird match to get.
It is. There's probably a lot to talk about. These guys, we've never had either one, I don't think, in anything, so.
Yeah, and Morocco doesn't have a lot of WrestleMania matches, so.
Yeah.
You know, DiBiase certainly does, but Morocco does not have a lot of WrestleMania matches, so I'll check into that. Just a few facts about the match we just talked about, by the way. This was Sheamus' fifth WrestleMania match, in case you were wondering. It was Cesaro's third WrestleMania match. Again, the main show matches, there was pre-show matches that we talked about already with Sheamus and Kidd, Cesaro and Kidd, and Sheamus had been in some Battle Royals and stuff, but this is Sheamus' fifth, Cesaro's third, and Braun Strowman's first main card WrestleMania match. Also, Nicholas's first. I mean, I didn't think I needed to say that, but Braun had been on pre-show matches, but this is his first main show match at WrestleMania.
When did he win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
It was the year, I think, before this, but it was a pre-show.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the one with the SNL guys.
Yeah. Is that?
Yeah, that's a,
no.
That's a pre-show match. The year he won. The year he won was with Michael Che and Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And that was a pre-show match.
Okay.
There's really, I think, only been two Andre the Giant Battle Royal matches on the main card.
I think that was 35, though, with Michael Che and that. In New York.
It was New York, so it could have been after this then, yeah. Okay. Even still, pre-show match.
Okay, yeah, so it was his first. Just a long-winded story. You were fucking right, and I don't know why I would argue. Anyway.
One more time, I want to give a shout-out to the guys at the Fat Guy Sports Talk podcast. You can find them anywhere except Stitcher. Give them a holler. I'm not sure if they have a new episode this weekend. I have not checked, but give those guys a holler. They helped us out. We'll give them a help out. We are on Facebook at Random Mania Podcast. We are on Twitter at Random Mania Pod. We are at Instagram on Random Mania Podcast. Check them out. You can see my newest Hasbro wrestling figures on there that I got this week, which are pretty tight.
They're very nice. Collector items. Things that we've longed for 30 years and now are in your possession. Isn't that fun?
They're super awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wow. So, all right. So, we got an oldie but a goodie. Well, potentially mediocre-y for next week. We had a surprisingly good one this week. You know, we had a tag team championship match, which is always fun to get championship match from WrestleMania. You know, Braun Strowman and Nicholas, you did everything in your power to win this match, and it came true. It happened. You succeeded. You're champions. Yes. The bar, which is composed of Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yarr! Fired! I was going to do it in a Braun Strowman voice, but... You're fired! I can't even do it now. You're fired!